Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Eating Salads. It's me again, Austin Crosby. I was just telling Casey that Bitcoin is below 61,000. And interesting, because it's not, I don't think it's quite low enough to buy large sums, but I guess it's low enough again to resume dollar cost averaging. It's not at its peak. It's down like 10% from its peak, and there's not a small chance it could go up to a new peak. But whatever. Today, Casey made a weird salad. I wasn't super stoked on it, to be honest with you. It had garbanzo beans and green peas in it, green beans. But she also made very delicious pistachio buns. And they were amazing. I had like 10 of them. And mashed potatoes and orange chicken. So it has been a delicious day. Can't get enough of those subtle baked goods, right? In the style of cinnamon rolls, but pistachio. Woke up to some snow today. A couple inches of snow on the ground. I think we're all good on the plant arena. Time will tell, right? But I think the native plants here can handle some snow. They don't want a deep blizzard under ice for a long time. But waking up to a couple inches of snow might be exactly what they crave. I'm not certain. There's definitely, if we had a total loss of all the new plants, it'd be like $200. If we had a 50% loss, that would be pretty catastrophic, but it would still only be $100. So I would rather know what works and what doesn't work and how we can and shouldn't plant. But it really does seem like mulch and rocks, pea gravel, goes a very long way as far as keeping the roots of plants warm, even with snow in the mix. So we're good there. We still got on our walk. But we also, this is kind of crazy, I started a movie this morning that was insanely thought-provoking. I got called away, but we will resume it at some point. And that movie is Heaven's Gate. Heaven's Gate, if you're not aware, it's mostly known, I feel like, in film circles and cinema nerd circles for the Heaven's Gate fiasco association. And it is something that's often oversimplified, but the basics of it are that Heaven's Gate was the sophomoric film of the guy who made The Deer Hunter, which is honestly like a catastrophically slow film from the 70s, in my opinion. It starts with a long wedding that is just super duper duper boring. But there's some good scenes from it, and it was super critically acclaimed. So United Artists, an interesting company in and of its own, they basically, I believe, gave $44 million to this guy. And they were kind of just let him go off the rails, making this movie that has become known for being indulgent and wasteful with studio resources. It basically, some people would even say it bankrupt United Artists, but that's not really true. Again, it's that oversimplification problem. But anyway, I had never seen it. I'd only heard about it as Heaven's Gate fiasco kind of ending the 70s film New Hollywood era, basically. It's the end of it. If you're going to teach a class on, which I took a class on, the Hollywood, New Hollywood era of the 70s, you kind of end it with Jaws and Steven Spielberg and Heaven's Gate, because they kind of saw, hey, you know what? We're going to make way more money merchandising and doing these kinds of event movies than we ever will, throwing tons and tons of money at indulgent lunatics. Well, the movie's kind of beautiful. I didn't realize it is so indulgent, though, and ridiculous. It's on the Criterion Channel under the Razzies category, just to put it in perspective. next to Ishtar, Freddy Got Fingered, movies like that. And it opens with this really long college graduation sequence where John Hurt and Kris Kristofferson are playing college graduates who look 30 years too old to be graduating college. But then it fast forwards 20 years and you realize, okay, this is a movie that takes place in the 1890s. For some reason, it had a very unnecessary scene about them going to college together, but okay. And it's just taking place in Wyoming. But anyway, the main takeaway is to see this excess that it's famous for is actually fascinating, because they just, as one forum put it, they didn't need 100 extras for a scene where a guy gets off of a train. And he arrives in Casper, Wyoming, and the streets are the most bustling you have ever seen streets in a movie. They are right up there with Rush Hour 2 or Blade Runner. I mean, there's so many people on the streets of Casper, Wyoming, which is kind of central to the plot. The plot is about cattle ranchers trying to basically illegally have mob justice on Russian immigrants who are causing, you know, civil unrest in the region. Anyway, Christopher Walken is in it, as he was in Deer Hunter, right? Jeff Bridges is in it. So this is a movie that, you know, should be more famous. It's just unfortunately known for being a stinker, and people say it's kind of undeserved. What happened was the movie came out and it was super long and it had this like sepia tone over it, and then the studio got cold feet on its reception, pulled it back, and re-released it edited, and people didn't really like that one, but it kind of did make money back, and they were just got, you know, scared of it. And for years and years it sat as a joke, and then the Criterion Collection like restored it in a great way and released a long edit of it, which is what I've been watching. And it is insanely indulgent. I mean, it does really have you asking, like, were there that many people in Wyoming back then? And did they have all these, like, I mean, it is like the guy blew all the budgets of every Western movie at the prop store and the extras. I mean, it's amazing. So, you know, I can't say it's a dumb movie when you look and you're like, wow, look at all they've done. This is insanity. It's on the level of Gangs of New York, but this isn't New York, it's Wyoming. So it's kind of neat to see. He goes into a store, Kris Kristofferson's character at one point, and it is shoulder-to-shoulder busy shoppers, like that movie Last Action Hero or whatever, on Christmas. It's like a Christmas in New York 90s movie. So food for thought. We'll resume it at some point. And then the 4K Blu-ray that we watched today in its entirety arrived today, and we watched it today, which rarely happens. Does a movie skip the queue? But it was Jumanji, the original Jumanji. I thought that the 4K wasn't available for a reasonable price. The link that I had gotten to it, the listing that I saw, it was like $70 and a special edition. And I wasn't willing to go for that. But then I found it for like $25. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, in my mind, I was like, that's a great sale. And I think it's worth it, because Jumanji is an amazing classic and it really holds up. Some of the effects, namely the monkeys, they don't hold up visually so well. But it is still a timeless classic, you know, with great themes and beautiful, timeless cinematography and set pieces, and its depiction of various eras of this small town is really fascinating. And Robin Williams is just great. It's just great. Also, Kirsten Dunst was in it, which was kind of crazy to see. So we appreciated that. And it just fits right in with all these other great classics that we've been watching. Fallout has really, we finished watching Fallout, by the way, that was great. And now we've just been thinking, like, yeah, you know, if there's the end of the world, at least we will have some Blu-rays to rewatch. You know, nice staples. Last night, very last thing we did was watch the 4K Blu-ray of An American Werewolf in London, the John Landis classic. And kind of one of the bigger takeaways to us, Casey was like, wow, this nurse is so sexy. And I thought that was kind of comical. It's almost like Monty Python's Holy Grail when he gets stuck in the nunnery and they're all like, you know, salivating over him. It's like that vibe with this nurse where she's just like, I think you're terribly attractive. Let me bring you home. And anytime he tries to like communicate distress to her, she's just like, oh, let's make love instead of that. You know, that's her vibe. And I think that's kind of a funny trope. Casey really appreciated that. And then the supporting guy, his buddy, who is a ghoul the whole movie, was the same guy from After Hours, who I actually think is like smarmy and gross, but those were the roles he played. So it's funny to see. And it does make me go, oh, maybe we should branch out a little in that direction. In those classics towards, you know, Ferris Bueller and Fast Times at Ridgemont High and those kinds of movies. Not so much John Landis, but John Hughes, right? It was John Hughes, I think. My professor was the producer of a lot of those movies, 16 Candles and Ferris Bueller's Day Off. But I really did not like the guy. I mean, he let me do whatever. I just thought he was like a very lazy, hands-off, not much of a professor at all, to be honest with you. I can't even remember his name. He was just like so not interested. He just wanted to wait the clock down every time you went into his class. It was really weird. Anyway, yeah, American Werewolf in London was fantastic. I mean, it goes straight to the will rewatch soon category of 4K Blu-rays. There's a short list of like, if we had a guest over who wanted to watch a movie, we would go to those. And it's right up there. So anyway, another good day. Thank you very much. Come again tomorrow.